Well, hello. I want to welcome you to another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. My name is Tom Cooper, and I'm so glad that you have joined me for today's lesson. Today, we're talking about your money. And it's a good time to be talking about that because this is, you know, when we're going through the beginnings of what may be a financial crisis, and there are going to be some challenges that come from that. And it'd be great if we started 5 years ago. It'd be great if we started yesterday, but now may be the perfect day to start. And I want to encourage you that it's going to be okay. Today, talking about your money, Lead Yourself First is your personal growth program. Dave Ramsey says, personal finance is 80% behavior and 20% head knowledge. Lead Yourself First is your system to help you develop the critical skills you need. And I'm really focused on practical application. And this lesson will give you practical steps, things you can do right away. I'm telling you, getting a handle on your money is huge. What I'm going to teach in this lesson could be the difference between you being broke and you being wealthy. I'm not overstating this. If you take this lesson seriously and start to apply what I'm talking about, it could be better for you than winning the lottery. I'm totally serious about that. Using the ideas in this lesson, they're going to make a big difference for you. How do I know? Because I've seen these ideas work over and over again, and I've heard the stories of countless people who've benefited. Now, before we jump into the lesson, I always ask, how are you going to act? What can you apply? What can you change? What can you teach after this lesson? Be a river, not a reservoir. Share what you are learning with other people as you are learning. Now, I've been looking forward to this lesson, and I say that to every lesson, and it's true. I do. I look forward to these lessons, and I look forward to this one because I know that money matters. It's a significant factor in relationship stress. It's one of the top causes of divorce, and it's also one of the most solvable problems in our lives. In the next few minutes, we're going to cover some incredible ground when it comes to your money. And I'm telling you this, if you can make stewardship, that's a weird word, stewardship of your money, a priority for you, and begin to use what I'm teaching in this short lesson, you will start to win when it comes to money. This lesson today could be the turning point for you for the rest of your life. Applying what we talk about today may be the financial difference maker for the next two generations in your family. I'm that serious about this. Now, at the end of the lesson, I'm going to offer you some additional help if you'd like some additional help. And typically, I'm offering to connect you with some resources that I've got available. Today, I'm actually not going to do that because I'm not the expert when it comes to this, but I will point you to a place where you can get some really good help. So why am I talking about finances in a personal growth program? Because if we're honest, most of us are struggling. A recent study shows that 57% of Americans would have to borrow to cover an unexpected $500 expense. And about half of Americans say they are regularly stressed about their financial situation. But there's hope. Here's what we know. If you want to be healthier, you look for advice from healthy people. If you want to be wealthier, look at what wealthy people do. Start doing that. And you might feel like the deck is stacked against me, that I just can't win. And you're right. If you go with the flow, if you do what everybody else does, you will end up like everybody else around you, dependent on someone else, like Social Security. And that just to cover your basic needs. You might think, well, yeah, those super rich people, they all inherited their money, so it's super easy for them and hard for me. I can't win. I can't get a break. But what if? What if that wasn't true? Did you know that of the world's 100 richest people, only 27 inherited money? That means that 73 of them, 73% made their own fortune. And of those 73%, half came from poor parents. Half of the richest 100 people on the planet had poor parents. What if you could change your situation? What if you could set a course for the next two or three generations, changing the family story when it comes to money? Back in the 1950s, Earl Nightingale said, in the U.S., almost anyone can make a living, can get by on their own, but few people will build wealth. And that was true in the 1950s. It is true right now. I'll give you one example. I'm not a fan of the lottery because I'm really good at math. In fact, people who play the lottery are twice as likely to declare bankruptcy than people who don't win the lottery. The lottery sells false hope. It's a trick, and it is a cruel trick. People who win the lottery People who win the lottery are far more likely to declare bankruptcy than people who do not win the lottery. Let that sink in for a moment. The data is clear. The lottery promises if you win, you'll have wealth, but it's a false promise. Some people think, well, if I was a really talented sports athlete, I could do really well. I guess right now with the sports all shut down, that's not a good pathway, but we'll get through this. They think if they could get a pro sports career, they'd be set for life. But the stats aren't good for pro athletes either. In 2009, a study showed that 78% of former NFL players were bankrupt or in significant financial distress just 2 years after they retired from playing. 78%. So let's assume that you don't win the lottery and you're not an NFL player. What can you do? Well, it turns out that there are six things you can do that can make a huge difference in your financial situation. There are six things that you can do, and we're going to talk about those things right now. First, graduate from high school. Graduate from high school. Two, get a full-time job. Graduate from high school, get a full-time job. Three, get married. Then four, have children. Graduate high school, get a full-time job, get married before you have children. And marriage is actually a really strong correlation between financial security and financial insecurity, that those couples that get married tend to be better off financially over the long haul than those who do not. But if you do those four things, and in that order, graduate high school, get a full-time job, then get married, then have children, you are incredibly likely to live your entire life above poverty level. And I wish I had time to go more deeply into this, but let me say this. If you haven't graduated from high school yet, get it done. If you don't have a full-time job today, that is a great next step to help with your financial situation. If you don't have kids today, get married before you start having kids. The research on this is huge, and I'm very passionate about marriage and family. I've been married to the same woman for more than 20 years. We have 7 bio kids together. We're working on adopting. Marriage matters. Healthy family relationships are a critical part of family success. But unfortunately, I don't have time today to go deeply into that. You might listen to this lesson and say, well, Tom, I guess I'm shafted. I didn't do those things in order. Are you saying I'm doomed? No. Now, you might say, Tom, I did all those things and I'm still feeling financial stress in my life. I feel like this just might be my reality. In fact, for the balance of today's lesson, I'm going to talk about what you can do whether or not you've done those four things. Fundamentally, after those four things, you need to decide to manage your money, and then you need to manage that decision. Now, I want to talk to you for a moment about why I care so much about this topic. When I was a kid, my family did not have much money. We got evicted from our rental house, and I'm grateful that my dad's parents took us in. For the next several years, we lived with my dad's parents, and eventually my mom and dad were able to afford to get another place they could rent. Well, mostly. They paid the rent most of the time. Mom and dad did not follow the steps above. They did graduate high school, and they started college, but they had kids before they completed their education. They dropped out of school. Lack of formal education was a limiting factor in their earning, and it was a massive setback for them that affected them for the next 20 years of their lives. In fact, business challenges and poor decisions put our family at the lower end of the income spectrum when I was a kid. We did have a car, but it was often broken down, and I can't tell you how many times I was late in the evening leaning over the fender of the car, holding a flashlight for my dad, or fetching tools to finish the repair so he could go to work the next day. I got a job when I was quite young delivering newspapers, and because I worked, I had money in my pocket, and I also developed a habit of spending all of the money that I made. Man, if I could have back all the quarters I put into arcade games and video game cartridges, oh my goodness. And on top of that, Mom and Dad didn't do much to teach me about how to manage money well. They were value shoppers, but they didn't teach me about saving. A few years forward from those days, it was summer and I was home from college. I saw a bill in the mail from the phone company. Now, my girlfriend at the time lived very far away, and I had been calling her every day because I was in love. And that was back in the day when people paid for long distance calls, and we didn't have a phone at the house because we couldn't afford one, so I used a payphone. And at that time, if you used a payphone, it cost even more than if you used your landline. And as I said, I was in love, and I spent countless hours on the phone talking to her over the summer, and then the bill came. It was my entire summer earnings, and then some. In addition, As soon as I qualified to receive credit cards, I signed up for credit cards and I ran those credit cards up to their limit because why not? But it was that phone bill that pushed me off the cliff financially. That was the bill that took me out of college and made me a part-time student and an almost full-time waiter. And it was about that season of my life when my aunt told me something very valuable. Do you want to know what my aunt told me? She said, Tom, you get to choose how you live your life. Your money is up to you, but the difference between stress and no stress financially is only 20%. Only 20%? What are you talking about? She said, in our culture, you can live over the edge. In fact, banks will let you spend about 10% more than you earn every single year. If you do that, you'll be deeper and deeper in debt. You will survive, but you will be stressed every single day about money. But if you can learn to live on less, on 10% less than you earn, you'll have money in your pocket every day. The difference is whether you spend 10% more than you earn or 10% less than you earn. So the difference between financial stress and financial peace is 20%. Which one do you want to choose? My Aunt Connie was right. Sadly, I did not take her advice. I continued to listen to the sales pitches and the credit cards and the banks, sign and drive, buy now, pay later, over and over and over again. And I got deeper and deeper and deeper in debt. And shortly after that phone bill came, I began to learn what it was like to have bill collectors calling me. I remember the feeling in the pit of my stomach when the phone would ring. It was awful. I was stressed. I managed to dig my way out a little, but I was barely keeping up with my payments. Now, I eventually did manage to finish college, but I continued to make bad financial decisions. Every year I would earn more, but that money was already spent. I looked good on the outside, but I was stressed. I was living out what O. Donald Olson said. The average American is busy buying things he doesn't want with money he doesn't have to impress people he doesn't like. And I would add that so much of the time I was working to impress people I didn't even know. I continued to live that way for several years and I felt stressed and I made poor financial decisions, poor choices, barely keeping my head above water, always afraid of drowning. It was awful. And one day, that thing I greatly feared came upon me. Overnight, my income dropped 30%. Bills that I thought I'd be able to pay no problem, all of a sudden were an overwhelming tidal wave, and I was in trouble. Lots of it. That season was rough, and it was painful. And it was the motivation for me to begin to change my thinking, change my actions, and change my results. Over the next 3 years, I got serious about not spending more than I needed to spend, about saving what I needed to save, and I worked my butt off to pay off debts. It took me a while, but eventually I was able to get out from under my credit cards, and then out from under my car loan, and then even my student loans, I eventually was able to pay those off. And I'm not telling you that to impress you, but to impress upon you that it was true for me, and the same can be true for you too. I'm not saying it will be easy, but I am saying it can be done. So let's talk about specific practical steps you can take to make a difference in your finances. First, you must decide, as I had to decide, you must decide to be a steward of the resources you have. That means it's your job to take care of those resources that you have. A friend told me when we were learning about this topic that her dad was broke. She said, but if he has money, he'll give it to you. But then he's broke. He doesn't plan for the future. You have to be thinking about the long term, not just today. I remember as a young guy, I remember many times thinking, I got another payday in 2 weeks. But then it hit me. Over the course of my life, there will come a time where there will not be another payday. There are only a set number of 2 week pay periods in my entire lifetime. I can't count on tomorrow's money. I have to think about today's money. So have you decided to be disciplined about your earning and about your management of your finances? That may mean getting better at what you do so you can earn more. It may mean learning about ways to add more value to the work you do, and it may mean getting a second or even a third job. It may mean learning to spend less. Perhaps you're doing some retail therapy. I remember I felt bad about myself one time and I took my store credit card and I bought a big TV and a movie player. I felt better for a short time, but the bills came and they were merciless. Sometimes stopping spending, even reckless spending, is key to choosing to manage your finances well. I love what Dave Ramsey calls the baby steps in his system. Remember, I quoted him at the top of today's lesson. He says that personal finance is 80% behavior, what you do, and 20% math. You're going to want to get started immediately. First, you need to create your emergency fund. Your goal is to set aside $1,000 in a savings account ready for use when an emergency hits. Now, let's say $1,000. Are you out of your mind, Tom? I can't rub two nickels together. Well, then start smaller. How could you come up with $100? And you might think, $100? How could I can't? Every dime is spent before it comes in. I can't come up with an extra $100. Well, what can you sell? Could you pack lunches and put that money into savings? What we know is that if you have a financial buffer, you will have options, and options are super powerful. Save a few dollars every week. They do add up. And I want to point out, you need to make that decision about your finances, and then you need to make a plan. What is your plan? First, list all of your expenses, all of them. Make a list of your income, every place that you get income. Find a way to adjust your expenses so that they are smaller than your income. Figure out which things you will pay and when you're going to pay them. It's called a budget. There's a powerful free online tool called everydollar.com, everydollar.com. It's called that because in a budget, every dollar has a name and every dollar is allocated before you even earn it. This is going to take a little bit of work, but it is totally worth it. Now, when we talk about more work to deal with something, I remember when I was in a situation, I had no money and I had an endless supply of excuses. I could come up with 1,000 reasons that I couldn't get ahead. I worked too many hours. I had family responsibilities. I was involved with my community. Blah, 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 blah. The question is, What are you willing to do to get what you want? I believe in you. I believe in your dream. So we get back to that emergency fund. Once you find $100, can you grow that to $200? I know you can. And when you get to $500, now you're really building momentum. But you might think, I can't do that. It took me a while to get here. I just can't save anymore. Okay, maybe you can't save anymore. Maybe you don't have anything else you can sell. Can you cut grass? Can you build something? Can you find creative ways to serve others and earn a few bucks? You might say, well, I can't do that. I've got kids. I hear you. I got a bunch of kids. And as a dad, I get it. You got to do what they need, and it eats into your time for sure. I do understand, but what if you found a responsible coworker and you could do a kid swap and you could watch their kids for a while and they could watch your kids for a while and you did a short-term project while they're watching your kids to earn some cash? See, if you want it badly enough, you'll find a way. If you don't want it badly enough, you will find an excuse. This is a tough lesson, but it's for your own good. If you want things to get better and you start making tough choices, I'm confident that things can get better for you, no matter what your circumstance. And yes, I know that some people are struggling and it is absolutely a challenge to find money for rent and food and medicine. I'm not trivializing that. And yet I care about you enough to tell you there is a path that can allow you to make things better. Deciding to make things better is the first step, and an emergency fund is a great second step. Hire a coach if you need to. One of my clients is a fairly young guy. He wanted to maximize his earnings. He's talented, and he wanted to accelerate his career by working with a coach. He hired me to work with him. He's done a ton of work, and he has seen great results. He's gotten raises and promotions and is actively working his career plan. Having the accountability of working with a coach helped him, and he's earned far more than he's paid me by working with a coach. Now, it's great to have some kind of buffer, and an emergency fund is that buffer. The next step in the journey is to decide that you are done with debt. Done with debt. There are people that will tell you that some debt's good and some debt's bad, but here's what I know. No matter how nice your house is, the bank has a much nicer building than you because they figured out that loaning people money is a great way to make money. Think about your spending. What would it be like if you had no credit card balance? If your credit card debt just evaporated, if it was gone? What if your car, there was no car payment? What if you had no student loan payment? The Book of Wisdom says the borrower is slave to the lender. And I found more and more freedom as I began to dig my way out of debt. I liked that freedom. Dave Ramsey suggests what he calls the debt snowball. You pick the smallest debt you have, regardless of the interest rate, and you start paying that smallest debt off first. Focus on killing that smallest debt. Every spare dollar you can find goes into making that debt smaller and smaller and smaller until it's gone. You stop going deeper in debt. For the other bills, make minimum payments so you can knock out that small debt and it'll be completely gone. When that smallest debt is gone, you take all the monthly budget dollars that were going toward the smallest one and you put them at the next larger debt. You kill each debt one at a time, smallest to largest. Maybe you sell a car that has a big loan. And I had that happen to me. I was in that situation. My income plummeted and I had gotten a new job several months before. My income plummeted and I'm like, I deserve me a car. And I went out and bought a nicer car. And I realized I was going to be in trouble. And I put that car, I had it maybe 6 months. I put that car on the market. I sold it, got out from under the loan I had on that. I went back to my buddy. I had sold him an old Honda Civic that was a piece of junk. I'd sold it to him probably 18 to 24 months before that. I said, hey, you looking to get rid of that car? I want to buy it back from you. And I bought back that Honda. Now I like Hondas because they're common, they're inexpensive to operate, and they're inexpensive to repair. Plus, they hold their value a long time. I drove that car until it fell apart. It was a terrific vehicle for me because I was building wealth. I didn't care about impressing you because I knew my bank balance was getting bigger because I wasn't making a car payment every month. Now, I have to stop here and say that I do know what it's like to not have enough in the bank account. I do know what it's like to be overdrawn before payday and to have bill collectors calling me and me with no way to pay at all. And I've been blessed in my life. I've been blessed because I made some good decisions and some convenient timing that helped me overcome some bad decisions. And this much I know, the quality of your life will go up immensely when you feel like you've got more options. And you will have more options if you commit to making this better. This is doable. Don't give up. Don't give up. Dave Ramsey's baby step 3 says, pay off all your debts except the house and save up 3 to 6 months of expenses. This might seem insane that you could save up 3 to 6 months of expenses, but you can do it. I don't have time in this lesson to cover the rest of the baby steps, but if I can be transparent with you, I don't even think it matters for this lesson. What matters is this: are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you ready to make a change? So it's almost time for your personal action plan, and we're going to go over the key points from today's lesson as we do that. First, Americans are struggling under tremendous financial stress. You're not the only one. Most people are struggling. A study by the LA Times found that 27% of people surveyed said their financial situation was shaky. The Consumer Credit Counseling Service found that employees under financial stress spend 13% of their workday dealing with money matters on the job. It's costing you productivity and peace. I've been there. And my Aunt Connie was right. When I spent more than I earned, I was under stress all of the time. When I earned more than I spent, I had more choices and far less stress. When I got out of debt, I felt a peace that I cannot even describe to you that makes me never want to borrow money again. Never. Remember those four factors in order to give you a 92% chance of living? In order, graduate high school, get a full-time job, get married, then have kids. And regardless of wherever you are in those four, the next two things that you have to do are decide to manage your finances and then manage that decision every day. We talked about creating a budget and at everydollar.com, and we talked about making a plan for each dollar each month. Stop borrowing more money. Stop borrowing money today. Stop borrowing money. Stop running up your credit card. Stop it. Start an emergency fund and start attacking those debts, smallest to largest. Remember that personal finance is 80% behavior and 20% math. Make a plan and stick to your plan. There's hope. There is hope. Your situation can be better, a lot better. And I believe in you and I believe in your ability. So for your action plan, I want you to think about the one idea that you can apply, change, or teach. What do you need to take to your spouse? What do you need to talk to your spouse or significant other about? What are some tough decisions you need to make? This is important. I believe in you and I believe in your dream. You can do this. Now, at this point in the Lead Yourself First lesson, I usually am making an offer about something you can buy from me. But for you, if this is a topic you care about, I care about this topic too, but I'm not the expert. And so when, in terms of personal finance, if that's something you want to look at, I want to encourage you to look up a course called Financial Peace University from Dave Ramsey. Go to daveramsey.com. That's daveramsey.com. I know my lane. I'm a leadership and personal growth guy. I'm great at what I do, and I'm not great at a lot of things, but there might be resources out there that are better than Dave Ramsey's to tackle this, but I have personally benefited from his teaching, and I know many, many, many people who have done the same. There's huge value in that, and I'm committed to pointing you to the best resources I know for each of these topics. You will not regret looking at Dave's stuff. Thank you for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I look forward to hearing from you next time.